Ephesians chapter 5
tonight. When Pastor texted me yesterday and gave me a heads up, I said, well, we might just move the children's chapel message out to big church tonight, Lord willing. And so you guys are in for a special treat. You get a sneak peek at what we do on the other side of the church. Last Wednesday night, while you're turning to Ephesians chapter 5, let me introduce this. Last Wednesday night, I went through a couple dozen pieces of scripture about self-control and self-discipline and basically behaving like we ought. And through all those scriptures on Sunday morning, we started with the letter A, self-control with our appetite, arrogance, anger, and answers. And our main text was in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. And let me share that with you, because I just might turn to it tonight. It says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken and without walls. And it's so true that if we don't have rule over our own spirit, we could be like that broken down city and without walls, without protection. When we let the slightest temptation come into our lives, and we let it slide the first time, the next time that hole keeps getting bigger before those walls are done. I noticed this on my way home today. I hit the county line, leaving Leon County, to Jefferson County, and I was speeding. I won't say how fast. But that, and I know we had a talk about this on Sunday school meeting on Sunday night, that there's people out there watching. So that instant I hit that bump over the county line, I had to gasp and say, Adam, slow down just a little bit. You know, if we stop that moment that we notice we're doing something wrong, and there was a time we went outside and played red light, green light, so we just get the feel of stopping and going when the Lord tells us to. So as far as Children's Chapel, we've just been starting a little lesson on self-control, and a lot of it on Sunday was what we eat and, you know, being modest and not showing, having proper anger and having our answers be soft and not vulgar. And today in Ephesians chapter 5, it's basically Christian behavior that we need self-control and discipline to do that. And we could sum it up in one verse when God was talking to Moses in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 2. God says, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And Leviticus stands in the same relation to Exodus as the epistles do to the Gospels. Exodus records a redemption, the cleansing, the worshiping, and the service to the people. Know that in Exodus, the people were in bondage, and God led them free by Moses. And know in the gospel, do we know who sets us free in the gospel? Jesus Christ. We were all in bondage, and God led us out of captivity. Leviticus gives a detailed walk of the Christian, a detailed service of the Christian, a detailed place of worship for the Christian. And the Bible, from the beginning to the end, God's Word points to God's living Word, Jesus Christ. And if discipline and self-control is not ongoing in my life, the ongoing sanctification, the holiness that Leviticus teaches, what am I different from the world? What am I different from anybody else? I want people to see there's something different in me. But the key is to not just be talking that I'm a Christian and acting like I'm not. John states in chapter 14, verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto me and make our abode with him. verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Crucial, it's very crucial that self-control and discipline is mandatory. So we're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll just start in verse 1, a prison epistle that Paul wrote when he was in Rome. And it's going to show us to live according to God's will. Spiritual discipline tonight. And I'm glad that Paul states it simply and practical through his words. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet smelling savor. It tells us that we are to be followers of God, imitators of God. You know, that is sanctification. As we imitate God, as we follow God, as we're growing closer to Him, we are being sanctified to walk in love. Christians have no greater purpose, no greater calling than this, to walk in love and to love others. Yes, we've all been called. We're called to be growing in likeness to the Lord while serving Him. And in verse 2, it talks about continuing to talk about children, walking in love. You know, if you've seen children and youngins growing around, they act like their parents. They want to be like their parents. My dad was a truck driver, so eventually I gave in and I became a truck driver. I wanted to be like my dad. I also had other heroes. I loved Lane Frost. I loved his story. I loved his families. Now I still share the gospel. So soon I started riding bulls and doing rodeos because I want to be like him. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate one that we should be like. There's no greater example than Jesus Christ. His self-sacrificing love for us. The world, the sinners, each one of us. He loves us. He took our wrath that we deserved from God. He gave His life that we may be redeemed, and that is love to show those around us. And that's the love that we need to be sharing to others, that self-sacrificing love, that I'm not going to get anything out from helping the guy that's living underneath the bridge, but we're going to help him. And I'm so glad that we're going to have a ministry packing bags and handing them out to those in need. It's a great service, a great ministry, showing love. In the book of Leviticus, it tells us five offerings that were also a sweet-smelling savor that went up to God. They were commanded by God. There's a burnt offering in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, and that was showing Christ's perfection. We're not going to go through and read these because that's a lot of reading. But I urge you to go home and study it. The burnt offering, which shows Christ's perfection. The grain offering in Leviticus chapter 2 shows Christ's total devotion to God in giving his life to please the Father. A peace offering in Leviticus chapter 3 shows he's a peacemaker between God and man. All three of these was a soothing aroma to the Lord. Now the last two were not so pleasing to God. A sin offering and a trespass offering in chapters 4 and 5 through 6. It showed Christ having our sin. And sin is not pleasant to God whatsoever. God will not have any part to do with sin. Let's read verse 3 through 7. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. In verse 3, it says, sin we must stay away from. Period. Do not go near it. Don't be tempted by it. And again, I want to just go to Proverbs chapter 25. Don't let anything breach that wall. Keep your walls up and stay strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. I think we're real close to that, so let's go ahead and flip back a page and read that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. It's pretty plain and simple that we must stay away from it. We need to have the self-control and discipline to know better. Verse 4. Now we're going to talk about our speech. Any speech that's obscene, degrading, foolish, dirty, suggestive, immoral. How could we praise God and remind others of His love if what comes out of our mouth is pure trash? We need to have that control over our tongue. I think it's James that says that's one of the toughest things to tame. And God will give you self-control over that. You know, these are the works of the flesh, and they're found in Galatians chapter 5. And I had to stop in verse 5 because it says, anybody who has any part will not have the inheritance and the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's not the only place our Bible says that. There's numerous places that say, if we are viciously seeking evil, immoral, opposed to all Christianity stands for, God will not have you in His kingdom. Revelation says you'll be cast into the lake of fire. But we as Christians know, once our name is in the book of life, there's no taking it out. So no, if you are not saved, you will be in that place that was not designed for you, but for the devil himself and his fallen angels. For all can be saved. And that foolish talk is destructive to our living, to holy living, and it needs to be replaced by thanksgiving, just praising God for all He's done in our lives. And let no man deceive you with vain words. Now, there's going to be a lot of people walking around saying, you can do this. You're saved by grace. Your sins are going to be forgiven, and they will be. But they're trying to deceive you. They're trying to trip you up. They're trying to have your walls broke down. And they're going to have your body, which is a temple, ruined. Don't let anyone deceive you. Stay strong in the Lord. We know no Christian is without sin, but sin should not be a pattern in a saved person's life. The self-control and self-discipline we seek, we need to obey God, obey our Father, and not be partakers in sin, but turn from that sin. And in verse 7, Paul isn't saying to not go around these filthy people, these unclean, unsaved people. Because if we wouldn't go around them, how would they know Jesus Christ? How would they know the light? Paul is not saying don't go around with unbelievers. He knows, and Jesus taught to lead them to Christ, to love them. just do not accept their way of life. Don't condone their ungodliness. Whether it's inside a church or not, we need to be bold enough to stand up and reprove them of their sin. They can spread darkness not only outside of this building, but inside the church. Be wary of unbelievers. Do not let them influence you. Use self-control that God has given you. And we're going to learn to walk as children of the light. Continuing in verse 8. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That's plain and simple. Yes, we were in darkness, but God, who is light, showed through. His Holy Spirit woke us up, and we seen the truth. And we should no longer walk in darkness, but in light. Those that are in darkness are void of the truth. Their eyes have been blinded. They just can't quite grasp. And you could read Acts chapter 26, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. And I think it'd be fitting for me just to read a little bit instead of just telling you to read them. So let me read 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. He that hath said he is in the... Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I was thinking, you know, when it's dark in our bedrooms and that light comes on, oh, are we squinting? We just can't quite adjust to it right away. I'll continue that story in a minute. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The fruits of the Spirit, they're produced by walking in the light. The more we walk in the light, the more we'll learn about the fruits, the more we will grow, the more we will be pleasing to the Lord, the more we will be acceptable to the Lord. Proving, and I always think about when David tried on Saul's armor, that his armor was not proved, it was not tested. Finding out and testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. And the song, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and over. And that line always got me. What could I do to prove anything? But through his goodness and his grace and our lives being changed, we show the world that God is tested, tried, and true. He has been proven over and over. And as we walk in the light, we see clear and clearer. You know, as our bedroom lights are on and we're squinting, we slowly adjust to the light. The longer that light is on, the more we adjust. We can slowly get out of bed. And through the time the minutes go by, we quit stepping on things on the floor. The longer that light's on, we'll be noticing cobwebs and cracks in the wall, and maybe a little change of color on the walls. The longer that light is on us, the more we're going to see, and the more we will be like Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I know Miss Sheila's Sunday school class had this chapter memorized. But it talks about being renewed in our mind, being transformed. Being that perfect sacrifice that is acceptable unto God. And truly, if we want to be acceptable unto God, we need to have our bodies ready as a living sacrifice, be surrendered to him completely, not holding anything back, so he could really use us, that we could draw closer to him. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12, for it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's amazing when that light comes on in our rooms. So many things are revealed. So many things that we can be aware of, that we can avoid, that we might not stub our toes, we might not hurt ourselves. Be thankful that the light will chase away the darkness. And verse 11 says, we should have no fellowship with darkness, have no part in it. Evil ways, the works of Satan. In two ways, expose the darkness and share the light with them. And number two, correct them. It's time to stand for what's right. Do not let evil and wrong go by without reproof. Now use discernment. Some people just like to sit and argue with you. Don't waste your time. If they know the gospel, let them know Jesus loves them and move on from there. Verses 12 and 13, the light of God, light of God's word reveals so much. If we just get in this Bible and read it, it's going to instruct us on what to do. God's going to tell us where to go. And God's living word, Jesus Christ, he will give us new life. Verse 15, and this is really a key verse for us tonight. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See ye then that ye walk circumspectly, diligently, careful, perfectly. We must walk diligently, perfectly, and carefully, accurately and precisely. We must know where we're going. We must live morally. To live morally is to live wisely, to live godly, to be purposeful and live worthily. Not as fools, not just as the unsmart people, but fools as unbelievers, living apart from God, not comprehending the truth. John says, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the light. We must have the light in our path. We must accept the light. He's going to show us the way. He is the only truth. And he will expose all that darkness. Thank the Lord for the light. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we've seen it on our TV. The evil that's just openly accepted. And there's times like yesterday where we get to go out and vote and just be a small voice to say no. We want leaders, godly leaders that can take control and lead our communities to a better place. Make the most out of our time on this earth. It is but a vapor. Be wise. Fulfill God's will for your life. And again, it's Jesus who's the greatest, the only true example that we should be following. I think of when Jesus was in the garden in Luke chapter 22, verse 44. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, we could think about that. Excruciating death on the cross, that moment he took our sins and God had to turn his back on him. We could think about the humility, the torture of what led to the cross. But Jesus didn't take God's will lightly. He knew why he was on this earth. And we really need this attitude in our lives. Verse 42 of Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, "If thou be willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know, with self-control and discipline, walking in the light, through the hardest moments of our lives, we have a God who loves us, who gives us the fruits of the Spirit. If we just grow towards Him, we can have that strength to say, "Nevertheless, Lord, whatever you want done in our lives, we will do it." Nevertheless, are we disciplined to fulfill God's will? Jesus Christ went through the unthinkable, and He did that thinking of us. It's time to gain self-control and be followers of God. We can do better at imitating God. We can do better at studying our Bible. We can do better praying. And I don't know what it is, whether it be appetite, arrogance, anger, answers. You could think of numerous issues, and I'm not going to tell you mine. I pretty much wear them pretty straightforward. If you take a good look at me, you can see how crooked I can be. But Wednesday night, it's coming to the end of August. It's a great time to really practice, to really exercise, to train in God's Word, to really work on our self-control, to really work on the fruits of the spirits and being as children of the light and shining the light out to this world that's full of darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We look forward to hearing from you as we go home. We look forward to your safety and your protection. Most importantly, we look forward to the opportunities of sharing the gospel to others, of sharing the light. Just give us the strength, the courage to accept what you tell us to do, to accept the will of our lives. We know at times it's tough. We are tempted and tried, but we can look at your Son and all He's done for us and think, "I need to do this. It's my purpose on this earth. It's my mission." Give us the strength. Bring us back here on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.